Well, our moms think we're funny.
You know, I don't think I've ever, like, willingly watched a horse movie. I was just subjected to that shit because I grew up in a weird fucking house full of, like, religious nuts and horse people. So, like, what can I tell you?
That's like a whole different kind of cult. Religious nuts and horse people, like... Mm.
That's the name of chapter 12 of my autobiography.
And in the name of Mr. Ed, all horses everywhere, nay. Please be seated. So, wow.
I know I texted about, like, I feel kind of bad for all the times I made fun of Amanda Bynes.
So you texted that and I was like, I should feel bad. And I can tell you why I don't feel bad, right? But I don't feel bad, but it's on my list of like, should I feel bad? Like, I'm still like working
still on
through
the fence about it. Still
like
on the
if
fence
I should feel
it.
Bad about it because like, okay. She was fairly normal for so many years beyond that.
Right, right.
And then, yeah, then, you know, then she's throwing like bongs out the window and shit. So, but, you know, these kind of things sometimes take a while to surface.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it gets repressed. It gets repressed.
And you don't know what it is that actually finally just kind of like, yeah, I don't really like using the word trigger, but what finally just like,
sets it off.
Incident, right, that just brings it all back to where, like the floodgates are busted open, right? So,
right, right.
And...
Well, I think a lot of it is just that the brain doesn't finish developing until you're 25, so I think that's why a lot of people, you don't see the after effects of that until around that age,
mm-hmm.
or a little bit after. So, I don't know, just like, when somebody, like, just does stupid, trashy stuff because they're a stupid, trashy person, like Bad Baby, it's like, okay, you know what, just, like...
Yeah.
Fuck you. You know, like you're throwing hands with somebody in a Wendy's parking lot. Just like stop. But then you know, Amanda Bynes was just like, oh yeah, you know, she became a train wreck. But then it's like, oh, that would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting in a hot tub with Dan Schneider and him playing footsie with you, that would do it. That would definitely make you fucked up. So
yeah. And especially when you know you're. I mean, it's you find yourself in a situation where, like, wow, this is like, and you can't even as a teenager, you can't be like this is what I always like, you know, always dreamed of. It's like, nah, you haven't always dreamed about that, but what you do like, wow, this would be really cool if I could do this, and then not only do you make it as an actor, but then you have an entire series like around you, like you're it, like it's like. Bam, your name's everywhere and, mm-hmm. and stuff. And next thing you know, like people are screaming your name and they're like, oh my goodness, like everybody knows you. And it's that whole, if you were in school and, you just want that thing where you just want to be popular, you want people to know who you are and, you know, and be kind of like, quote, like happy to see you, that
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
And,
like, everybody's got that daydream of, like, everybody in the cafeteria cheering your name and all that shit.
Right. And, yeah. and you walk by and it was like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, through all, you know, like, you coming to my party? I'll see if I can make it.
Looking
you know?
Good, Steve.
So, and then you have that. And you're like, wow. And, you know, and then you've got this person there that is... It's like, yeah, oh yeah, I mean, you know, I made all this happen for you. And whether you know it's true or not, or whether it is true or not, you have, this person is like, yeah, I kind of made this happen for you because you're special. I really like you. I was going to make this happen for someone else,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think that you're more appreciative. And now you've got this thing going on and, you know, maybe you're like six episodes or so into it to where you're really starting to, you know, like you're really starting to enjoy the life that you're living. And then they're like, you know, this person, you know, they almost had it. And you know, that person was really talented. And they, you know, it was a choice between you and them. And they're like, they weren't really that appreciative. And, you know, but I know that you are. You know, why don't you show me how much you appreciate everything I've done for you?
Yep. Yep.
That's, you know, that's kind of hard to back away from as a kid, you know?
Oh, totally. Because, I mean, you've got the power dynamic of it's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's drilled into our heads from, like, age 3 or 4. Like, the adult is the authority figure. You do what the adults say.
Right.
That's how you make it through the school thing. But then it's also the power dynamic of this guy's your boss. This guy is responsible for your paycheck. So, that's also a factor. And then, you know, not to, like, put this in too much of a jokey light, but you do have the kind of the implication thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, well, you know, I'm alone with this adult, my boss, in a hot tub.
Right.
So, what could go wrong?
Like, yeah, and...
And maybe they're not thinking, oh, you know, this could become a physical danger thing, but it could become, well, you know, do I want to go back to having to go to fucking public school and dealing with that shit? Or do I want to continue being a star? Like, it's a fucked up situation.
Yeah, and like you said, there's that whole power dynamic of, you know, kids are raised, or, you know, to do what they're told. And in certain situations, like, you don't feel like you can say, like, I do this, you know, like, I don't really want to do that. It doesn't feel right, but I don't feel like I have the authority to say no. Like, that's not something I'm allowed to do.
Right, right.
Even though you've got everything around you screaming, you know, to say no, and you've got all these, even, I don't know, you know, after school specials you've watched, it, but like, no, you know, say, you know, you can say no, and they're like, yeah, but can I?
Right, right.
But can I? You know, I know you said I could, but I don't really feel like I can.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, especially because so much of those after school specials, and like, even, it's funny that you were saying that, because I was thinking about the Sonic the Hedgehog thing. If someone's trying to touch you, that's no good. I mean, like, it was a really common thing, but it's like, so often those types of things happen from a family member, from somebody you trust, from an authority figure.
Right.
A lot of times a predator takes on a role as an authority figure because it puts them in a position to prey on people. So it's like kids aren't properly equipped for that. Because you're told, go to somebody that you can trust, and it's like, okay, but if the person that you can trust is the one doing it, then what the fuck do you do from there?
Right.
It's like, how can I tell my dad when dad's the one doing it? You know, it's...
Yeah. And so, you've got, you're sitting here they're saying that you have the power here. It's like, really? Because I've never felt like I've had the power before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty sad. And,
yeah.
And I feel, and so, like, going back to Amanda Bynes thing, I want to feel bad about that. And it's at this point, it's just me trying to come to terms with, like, yeah, like, this, you know, she finally snapped and mm-hmm. it manifested mm-hmm. in this way. And that's horrible. And now she can't get herself back.
Right, right.
You know, and I think part of it, the part of me struggling with it is that for so long, she seemed normal.
She was holding it together for a really long time, yeah.
Yeah, and then it just seemed like out of nowhere, like she just like, oh, and now I'm going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and it's like, really, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
And you kind of, to have a tendency to chalk it up and be like, chalk it up to them, like, oh, well, now they're an adult, and now they're going, you know, now it's like, well, their parents can't control them anymore, and now they're just going to just go wild in the streets.
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
No, it's not that. You mean, well, for all you know, she could have been watching an episode of, like, SpongeBob, and, and you know, and, like, and that just triggered something in her.
Right,
like,
right. I mean, it is funny that you bring that up, because, and this is probably going to be a little controversial, I mean, we don't have enough listeners for it to be a problem, but, like, I know one thing that people keep falling back on with Quiet on the Set is Drake Bell's situation. Mm-hmm. And it's tragic, and I hate it for him, and it never should have happened, but I think what people are really glossing over is the fact that Drake Bell is also a child predator. He pled guilty.
Yeah.
And he got a slap on the wrist, and it was fucking nothing, and I'm not thrilled about that. But, I mean, that's a really common thing. It's the cycle of abuse. Mm-hmm. Very, very often a child predator, somebody who was preyed on as a child.
Right.
I struggle with that personally because it's like, if it happened to you, then you know just how bad it is.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
So, like, why would you do that to somebody else?
Exactly. Like, if I told you, hey, man, somebody stole my TV, I'm going to go steal my neighbor's TV.
Right.
Because I need a new TV.
And you're saying that while you're, like, unplugging mine from the wall. But like, someone stole my TV. But like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I know how much it sucks for that to happen. And I know that that's not, like, an exact equivalency, but it's like, you know how, like, it's not like you'd lost your memory. You can flash back to when you were 13 or 14 and this is happening to you. So you remember how that made you feel. Why would you do that to someone else? So I think people are so hyper-focused in on this was a tragedy, it never should have happened to Drake. And it's like, yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't want to focus in on the fact that it's like, he knows how bad it is to happen to somebody, but he did it.
So my reply to that is, and I've never done any real research into this. This not really a topic that, you know, some things that I've you know, kind of looked in on and mm-hmm. you know, watched various documentaries or read stuff on. Cause you know, like if I see something that is of interest to me or like I'm just curious about it, I'll kind of look into it. Like, okay, let me see if I can find something that satiates my curiosity. I'm not gonna say satisfied, but satiates my curiosity.
Sure.
Or I have in my mind, like, okay, this is how I think that works. Am I right or am I wrong? But I think what it is that we've talking about a lot about, you know, children being protected and what happens when they're not protected. And when you're not protected and you, for a various reason, maybe you're trusting someone that is not worthy of your trust, and your parents or whoever your guardians are also trusting that same person,
right,
unaware that they're not to be protected, not to be trusted. And so then when you're being abused by them and you're like, well, it's also hard. I mean, it's hard for a child to stand up and say, like, this person is doing X, because adults typically won't take your word for it as a kid.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, you're a kid. Like, you've got some, you know, like half-cocked, like, ulterior motive for this.
Sure,
you know, for saying this.
I mean, I've seen that shit firsthand.
Right. So they won't believe you, and so you just don't say anything because you don't think you'll be believed. And so you never feel like you protect you. You never had that security.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And only thing you had was being, you know, having any sense of security and power taken away from you. Cause any other situation, right?
Yeah.
You would be able to run to somebody and be like, hey, like this happened or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you could tell like, your parents that, you know, that a kid at school beat you up and, you know, took your money or whatever they did. And they'll be quick to run down to school and be like, you know, you let this happen to my child. But if you say, oh, hey, you know, Uncle Frank locked me in a box or something like that.
Right.
Be like, he would never do that. He's never had any history of doing that before. No one's ever told you that that's what happened.
He's never been caught before.
Right. Exactly. So, so I think what happens is they lose all that taken away from their sense of protection, their sense of power mm-hmm. and
agency
and autonomy. As they get older, they don't know what that is. And so they still are missing that. They're faking it. But they don't know what it is. But subconsciously, I think that when they think about what it means to be in control and have power, it transfers to the person that took theirs from them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And to basically to regain their power, Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All subconsciously, then they do what was done to them because that's the only way that they can feel like whole.
Any semblance of control.
Right. Yeah. This is how I get that back. But I don't think it's a conscious thing that they're doing. I don't think there's really any like sexual gratification from it. I think it's all about like it's all about feeling righteous inside. Now I have I'm able to make this person do whatever I want them to do.
Yeah.
In the same way it was done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like a justification thing. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I've never done any formal research on this, but you know, I've said it before. I watch a lot of predator catching content. Like it went from To Catch a Predator to watching like a bunch of the independent dudes on YouTube and stuff. And so I've picked up a lot about this stuff via osmosis.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like the decent catchers who actually get arrests and convictions and stuff, like they know their shit. So.
Right.
But no, I fully agree. Like I know that I can't be like I know why that connection happened as far as Drake's situation goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I totally get it, but it is something that I struggle with.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It's just like
because no one's really addressed even to just break it down like we just did.
Yeah.
Right. Whether that's the psychologically correct or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
with our arbitrary diagnoses here.
Right. But if you're not even bothering to have that conversation and think about it, then and you're just being like, oh yeah, but this happened to him, so we're just gonna forget everything that they've done. Like that's not accurate.
Yeah, because it's like, what happened to Drake is not fair. I get it. Like, you know, if it were, you know, if it were up to me, if I could have a genie solve that shit, I would have it to where that never happened to him. At the same time, what he did to a child is also not fair.
No, I agree.
So, it's like, that child is not less of a victim just because Drake was a victim.
And, you know, and along with that is, you guys look at this two ways. Which is either he needs to be, you know, this needs to be brought up and he needs to be charged with whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and serve his time for that, you know, or, you know, be punished for it in whatever way.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You need to address the fact that he probably acted like this because of what was done to him and then get him treatment. But he still also needs to still pay.
Right, right.
But maybe in a lesser way because of that.
Sure, yeah.
But if you're just going to just wash it all away and not do either one of them, then you're doing a great injustice to everybody around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, he pled guilty in that situation. And to me, the injustice here is it's a systemic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because he pled guilty and basically, if I recall correctly, he just got something along the lines of like 6 months of probation.
Right.
Was not put on the registry. Like, that to me is insane. If somebody, like, under oath in a courtroom and says, yep, I did it. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't deserve a lesser sentence just because they owned up to it.
Exactly. I mean, but, you know, here, if we go to the opposite end of the spectrum of that, right? Then it's like, oh, yeah. I'm 78 years old, and I'm going to serve 10 years in prison. Then I'm going to be under like house arrest and be watching everything for the next 10 years. On top of that, you know, for what I did, like how do the two like who still is a bigger threat here?
Right,
this kid,
right.
He's what like 32, maybe.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he's still got like 60 years of predatoring.
Yeah,
This old bitch. I mean, like she can do anything once she gets out of prison. She served 10 years in prison, right?
It wasn't too long ago that we posted that episode about the church lady.
Yeah,
and we were like, hey, if they still got it in them at age 100, like,
right? Exactly. I mean,
but yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, has Drake done anything to resolve this? Because this is the first that we've actually heard that he was a victim. So it's like 5-10 years after he pled guilty to it, and now we find out that he's a victim. So it's like, it's clearly something that's not been fully addressed. It's clearly something that is causing repercussions in his life. So, yeah, I think if he were a responsible person, he would need to acknowledge that it's like, I'm one bad day away from making a really bad fucking mistake.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just the issue I have with it. It's like, he 1,000% has my sympathy. I absolutely hate the fact that that happened to him. Drake and Josh was a part of my childhood, you know? I watched that show growing up. I hate that that happened to him, but it doesn't make it okay what he did. So,
yeah, it doesn't. And it's so, from what little I know of it, right? It's so fucked up. Be like, and I know what I'm saying. The way I'm going to say this is, it comes across like really demeaning, but it's like, hey there, champ. So having trouble with your lines, huh? like really, like, nobody has that much trouble with their lines.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, to where it's like, oh, like, I gotta go. Like, here it is. I've only done like 3 seasons of the show already, but I'm still having trouble with my lines. Be like, come on. Like, really? Like, no, that's just somebody just fucking with you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, no pun intended, but, but I mean, I'm like, that's garbage. Like, oh yeah, why don't you just come over to my house in the middle of the fucking night, you know, so we can run through lines together. Cause we can't do that during the day. We can't do that on set when you're actually going to deliver the lines. You need to come over here and, you know, and just camp out there. We'll drink some Jesus juice and we'll work on your acting there. Like, come on. Like.
Yeah. It's just something. It, much like Harvey Weinstein and Cosby and like all those guys who like target nice legal people for the rape. It's just like, it's something that people turn a blind eye to.
And I want to talk about something really, really big here, in addition to all of this.
Yeah.
Which is, I saw, because I haven't watched a documentary, I've just seen some different things, and there was this whole interview, well, I saw a snippet of an interview with Joe Jonas, and talking about how he was kind of like, he hated the way that they made him, pretend to be this, and his brothers, pretend to be these, like, wholesome, virtuous guys, and they were all pure. And then apparently, I guess he had dated Demi Lovato, and and how, like, they had to kind of play up the whole thing with him and her being together. And then when she started going through, like, you know, all of her shit and everything, and doing like massive amounts of coke and stuff like that, and he was still trying to, kind of still carry on that image of like, oh yeah, we're good together and we're all cool and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, this is another victim of their whole like deal, like how these child stars, are kind of like manipulated and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, so here it is, you know, he was pretending like he's like, you know, I've got this purity ring and I don't believe in having sex and yada, yada, yada. And you know, before marriage and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And here I am, I'm dating Demi Lovato and we're all just great. And then, oh, guess what? She's going off the rails. Like she's like the porter to Ozzy's crazy train. Right. And then like, oh, when she's, she's like doing all this stuff and everything, like, I'm still standing by. Look at me. I'm the loving boyfriend. And then when all that ends, right? He now in his head, like he's all screwed up as far as what a relationship is and how a relationship works. So what eventually happens to good old Joe Jonas? He marries Sophie Turner. So, like, that all works, like, in several ways. Like, even when you're not really, like, physically touched and abused that way, like, you're still mentally just, like, twisted around to where, like, these all look like good ideas. Let me marry resting bitch face over here and have 2 kids. Oh, no. It's not just her face. It's her personality. Right. She really is a bitch. But, like, why did I save myself for, you know, marriage? And, like... Like, dude, like, look what you did to this poor guy, man.
Well, I think there's
not enough, like, movies he can be in with The Rock to really change this, to make him better.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just, it's taking these kids' childhoods away. Like, they're not allowed to be, like, their own person.
Yeah.
At all. And it all falls into the same thing. I mean, like, preying on children, child predator shit and all that, that totally robs them of their childhood, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, it's going along with the Jonas thing of, like, even if you're not physically preyed on, it's just, you're completely stunting who this person is, who this child is as a person.
Right.
And, like, I remember when, I believe it was Melissa Joan Hart. She was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, right?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So it was Melissa Joan Hart. Like, when she turned 18, she did, like, some little, like, swimsuit picture shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, super, super, like could barely even be considered cheesecake, you know? Definitely not anything softcore. It's just, like, it's like a one-piece swimsuit photo shoot. And Disney had a fucking meltdown.
Yeah.
Because she was Disney Channel. And Disney kids, like, don't do anything sexual.
No. Yeah. I mean, was it Mitchell Musso that he got in trouble with, like, pop position or whatever? And then
it sounds right.
Yeah. He lost that one show, and then he was taken off of Phineas and Ferb and all that kind of stuff, and doing the voice and everything. It's like, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, these are things that don't really, like, you hear about them, but they don't blow up into big things, right?
Right. Right.
And but at the same time, like, you know, like, I remember when Demi Lovato was going through her stuff and she was like 16 years old, and there were reports of her coming to parties and just doing massive amounts of, like, coke, just lines mm-hmm. everywhere and mm-hmm. drinking and shit and passing out and stuff. And not just at one party, but like several times. Like, yeah, like, she comes to parties right. And you're like, no, she's just suffering from exhaustion. Like,
she's just a little tired.
Right, I'm like, dude, like, I'm exhausted and everything. I've never done any coke. I mean, shit. I mean, I guess part of it was also I don't have the money to do coke, and I don't even know where I would even find some money. I got friends. I mean, but I'm just saying. Like, I mean, still though, just like I just can't imagine. But I mean, you go back to, like, Drew Barrymore was 12 years old, and she's, like, strung out on coke. Like, mm-hmm. how who's mm-hmm. getting this kind of shit? And you never have anybody just stops and be like, okay, so. Excuse me for a minute. I'm going to take this person I hear outside and just beat the ever-loving fuck out of them.
Right, yeah.
Like the chick that fucked over Edward Furlong. I mean, this guy, mm-hmm. this guy is, he's just done for, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even now, he's, I don't know, maybe in his 40s or something like that, and he looks like he was born in a gutter.
Right,
like, there's nothing you could do that you could, like, clean this guy up enough to make him look like he's not still strung out.
Right.
Well, because, like, he's in T2 and then he's got his makeup lady who's like 20 something. He's like 15 or so. And then she starts, you know, basically putting it on him.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you should be, emancipated. Then we should get married. And then I'm going to get you hooked on drugs. And then I'm going to take all your money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People were watching that and they were like, this is not good. I mean, she's a makeup chick. You take her outside, you beat her ass, and you'll be like, oh, by the way, you can cover that shit up because right, right. you're a makeup lady. I mean, but someone should have stepped in and be like, no, but they all just sat back and watched and everything, but like, well, you know, what can we do? He's the star. Yeah. But like, it's, you know, okay, whatever, yo.
Yeah, it's especially crazy when it's a boy who's the victim. Like, and I know, like, we've cracked that joke, but we crack a lot of really off-color jokes on this podcast, but, you know, it's always the thing where it's like, oh, this teacher was fucking a 14-year-old male student, and everybody's like, oh, where were those teachers when I was a kid? But it's like, this still affects them.
Yeah.
Like, that's still, like, they're still gonna hit this point when they're, like, 25 where it all starts coming together. Mm-hmm. Like, that's still a child being taken advantage of. It's just, I don't know, just...
Yeah, it's just that thing where, like, somewhere throughout your life, you've had little things. It's inception, but not really.
Right.
But somewhere throughout your life, like, you've had these little moments that have impacted you that have, it's basically like, say inception, but it's like the prince and the pea, right? It's something really small and layer upon layer later, like, here's this thing there that's shaping how you're, that does not work. Shaping, like, how you behave.
Yeah.
And you don't even know it's there. And it's not because someone did something necessarily to you. Yeah. Just something you saw, something you encountered, or whatever it is. and it has this lasting impact on you, and you are completely oblivious as to what it was or that even occurred.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's, so you look at that and you're like, you know, and you just think this is just how I am, but you have no idea why, and you don't even really question it.
Yeah, it's all just like butterfly effect shit, where it's like these tiny little moments. I mean, I know the first time I ever saw porn, it was just like a VHS box, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just like, I wandered in behind the curtain at the video rental store. Same video rental store that like gave me my crippling fear of Chucky. Like same fucking place. So this place like really shaped me as a person. But yeah, like I remember like just wandering along back there, had no idea, but just found this VHS box and received quite the education just from the back of that. But like I was 5 years old. I had no fucking clue what I was seeing.
Right.
But like, that's still ingrained in my head. Like, I still remember the shit that was on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and you have no idea. So when you're talking about like whole like the student teacher thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, yes, you know, looking back, you're looking at something like back with this, you know, kind of like machismo thing, but like, oh, lucky guy, but yeah, like he's not in control there.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not really that lucky. Yes, from a 30-some-odd-year-old's perspective of, like, if I was that kid with this mentality, yes, I'm sure that'd be great for you. But when you're that kid with that mentality in that mm-hmm. situation, right, she's in complete control. So years later, like, that shaped your entire view of not just sex and relationships, but also how you engage in sex. We're like, this is how I like it. Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that just what you think because that's been... That was your first experience, and that's what shaped you going forward.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And I mean, it's going to affect how he approaches people. It's going to affect his view on consent. I mean, like, I remember what it was like to be 14. Like, yeah. I was still, like, running around in the backyard pretending to be a Ninja Turtle. Like, I fucking get it. That's not the age for that shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 14. I'm home alone in the house, you know, like, after school or whatever. You know, just walking from my bedroom to the kitchen, get something to drink, and, you know, shooting imaginary people and dodging, and dodging lasers and stuff.
Right.
As if I'm actually, like, you know, engaged in some kind of intergalactic battle just because I'm 14, I'm stupid, I'm just goofing around in my house and no one can see me.
I mean, it's just like, that's a baby. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we've talked about it off mic. Like, the older I get, like, I can barely even look at porn with 18-year-olds anymore because it's like, goddamn, that's young. Like, even that is starting to, like, I need somebody a bit closer to my age.
Yeah, that's the problem with me. If I see a video with a girl that, well, obviously I'm watching professional stuff, so,
right.
You know, she's going to be 18. But if I'm looking at, you know, a video with a young girl in it and I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, what are you even going to talk about afterwards?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, as if the scene continues on, they just record that part. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, it's all fun and everything, but, you know, but yeah, what are they going to do after that? I mean, this relationship is not sustainable in any way. Yeah. I'm not even going to bother with this. Like, you know, I see the video and I just tagged a follow up on it, to see what that same actress is doing. And 3 months later when she's playing MILF roles.
Right. Speaking of weird Venn diagrams. Yes.
It's so funny. Like in any like porn, like female porn star between the ages of like 20 and whatever, like she, every role she does is like a scene from, Chinatown. It's like, I'm your mother, I'm your sister, I'm your daughter, I'm your mother. It's like,
yeah.
But you know, our entire lives, if you look at it, if you think about it, our entire lives are like being wrapped in a straitjacket. Like, we don't realize that we're bound tight and because of like how our past has shaped us. And the only way that we can get out is basically dislocate your arm
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and pull yourself out. But the thing is, you don't realize that you're in this thing.
Right.
You know, because this is how it's always been.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but you don't realize that like, hey, wait a minute. I've been shaped by things that I have absolutely like no knowledge of.
Yeah.
but I don't know, you know, like if you were born in prison, you don't know that you need to escape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I was born in the darkness, molded by it.
You know who was molded in the darkness? Me and her.
Yeah, no, shit just gets so normalized. So normalized. And I mean, it's interesting. I really didn't mean to make this episode all about pedophilia again, but I mean, it's just, it's weird because so often, until something like Quiet on the Set comes out, until something is brought into the light of Netflix, which we talked about off mic.
Right.
But like, you know, this is shit that, like, we've known about, but then it gets put on Netflix and suddenly it's in the public eye. And it's like real common knowledge. And it's like, cool, if you'd spent like 30 minutes on the internet any time in the past 7 years, you would have known about this shit.
Exactly.
But it's just, it is frustrating to me watching as, like, seeing just how much of a problem it is. You know, like, I've got like 4 or 5 predator catchers on rotation, and they are never running out of content. All of these guys are making 4 or 5 catches a week for years. And they never run out of guys who are trying to wine and dine little kids. But people don't like to talk about it. It's a very uncomfortable subject. I get it. Like, this is not an easy discussion to have. But people like to just stick their head in the sand and pretend that it's not actually a problem.
Well, I guess my question to that is, like, and I'm not trying to dissuade anybody, but if you've been doing this for a while and the numbers aren't decreasing, like, you're not making an impact, and that's a problem.
It's scary, but again, it's a systemic thing. It, like, because even if these guys get caught in the act, like, I mean, I've seen court cases where it's guys who have been preying on dozens of kids over a period of 10 years, and then they get 7 years in jail. Like, it's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah,
so it's issues with the justice system.
It's crazy. You kept saying it's a systemic thing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it just made me think of I'm not trying to make fun of what you were saying because
no, that's good
because it's I mean yeah I
we need some funny stuff in this. It's got really heavy.
I completely agree with you. It is a systemic thing. It's It's perpetual. It just keeps, like, it keeps going around in circles because no one, you know, if no one says or acknowledges it, mm-hmm. then it never gets any better. And if all you do is just point at it and be like, look, there's a problem.
Right.
And you don't do anything. Like, if you're not going to say anything about it, then there's no point in pointing it out.
Right.
If you're not going to say anything about it, you're not going to do anything about it, then there's no point in pointing it out. But it made me, what you were saying made me think of this episode of Tyson's Mysteries that was on, was it last night or the night before? And it was last night. It was the one where the guy had the guy made the 3 clones, or actually made 3 clones of his son. And then he's telling the story of how he made the 3 clones. He wants to make one, and then he accidentally made 3. And he's like, you know, our son died in this tragic accident, so I did what any parent would do. I cloned him. And he goes, and then, you know, I ended up having 3 kids, and they were, you know, identical. And we couldn't explain to the neighbors why we suddenly had 3 boys now. So I did what any father would do, and I took 2 of them to the, to an orphanage. And then, and then Mark's like, what any parent would do. And he's like, and then later on, he's like, and then, you know, like when I found out that you found out about the other ones, I had you go out there and bring them to me. And he goes, so I could do what any parent would do, which is kill him. He's like, and you keep using that term, what any parent would do.
Oh, man.
And when you kept saying, yes, it's systemic, it make me think of that. It's right, like, yeah, right. When you keep saying that, like...
Yeah, so I'm so glad you brought up Tyson, though, because that's a good, like, lighter topic that yes. we can pivot into. Which is the Tyson and Jake Paul fight. I'm so fucking excited for this, man.
You told me about, I watched a little snippet of the video I saw of like Paul, like practicing, or training, and then Tyson training, and then Tyson was just like, wow. Like, I mean, just the speed on him just.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say that Tyson is going to win for sure. I will say if Paul wins, it's because it was rigged. Like, yeah. You know, this...
Plus, he's got that gun.
It's a fixed fight, you know.
And plus, he's got that gun.
That gun?
Yeah.
Does he have a gun? No, he did say he was bringing a gun. Yeah.
I don't... Did he actually say that? Was it just something somebody, like... I think Jace wrote or whatever.
I think it's some bullshit that he tweeted about or something, because you know, he's one of those, like, terminally online people, so I think he put that on his Twitter.
But, I mean, I kind of wish that, you told me that Paul had seen a video of Tyson, like, training.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish he hadn't, because I really would have liked for him to be surprised.
God, yes.
But,
I mean, like, what Paul keeps saying is, like, oh, I'm young, I can take a hit, I have an iron chin. It's like, it's all this, like, cocky shit, but yeah.
I mean, Tyson was an Olympic boxer, and then he went up against other people that, we're boxers, we're professional boxers, holy shit. Like, why am I in the hospital? Like, I heard the bell, and then I woke up.
Then my face hit the floor, and that was weird. I was laying on my back, but my face hit the floor. Yeah, no. I have never watched a live boxing match, but I'm absolutely have every intention of watching this shit live. Like, I want this to happen.
I told you about that that interview with Roy Firestein or whatever. There's like sports like journalists or whatever, and he was talking to this guy, and he was telling the story of, like, some boxer that was going to be fighting Tyson. And, you know, like, before the fight, they have the weigh in, make sure they're right. And he was talking to the guy, and he's like, are you worried about the way in? And the guy's like, no, I'm worried about the way out.
Yep.
I mean, like, it's back in the day, man, when, you know, like, oh yeah, it's, yeah. Oh yeah. The Tyson fight's on. It's like, shit, I forgot, but let me turn it in. Like, and it's over, folks. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I've watched a lot of boxing matches, and like there are fighters who are like genuinely entertaining to watch, like Butterbean. I love watching Butterbean fight. But Tyson, he's just terrifying.
Yeah.
He like genuinely scares me to watch, because it's like, my God. My God, he is like a beast.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where he comes out there, and he's not the your typical, or let's say wasn't your typical like, I'm going to, you know, dance around with you for, you know, a couple rounds or whatever, wear you out. And then, like, he was just like, nope, I'm just going to come at you full force. And, you know, and if you survive this round, I'm going to come at you full force the next round, round, you know. And it's like, and yeah, I don't really know tons about boxing and stuff like that, but, you know, I know certain things from watching, you know, I haven't watched a lot of matches, but yeah, even we used to watch when they were, you know, when they maybe around like round five or six or so, when they start to get a little tired
their defense starts slipping. Right. They always get that cut right above the eyebrow. Yeah.
And then they're kind of huddled together, and they throw like some little like rabbit punches to the side, or they'll like, you'd be punching them in like the arm and stuff. I'm like, why the fuck? Why are you like punching me? Like you're clearly not hitting the body. You are purposely punching them in the arm. Like, what the hell? Yeah, because like, you make that arm nice and sore, then they're not lifting that arm up for shit. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, those different like the different like boxing techniques that are more than just let me come at you as hard as I can. I don't think Tyson really tried to knock anybody out first round. I think he was like, you know, I'm gonna come out there and I'm gonna hit you and I'm gonna hit you and I'm gonna hit you. Like that right, was his whole right. thing. Like all I gotta do is just get opening. And then after that, I got you open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, typically it is like really bad practice to do nothing but throw haymakers, but like when you're as fast as Tyson, you can kind of get away with it.
Yeah.
Cause like good luck blocking that shit.
And it's one of those things, even if you were to block it, like the amount of force behind it.
Oh, yeah.
It's still going to like just kind of have you reeling.
Yeah. See, I don't think Jake Paul realizes cause you know, he's not really fought many real boxers. He's fought a bunch of, like, old dudes, retired dudes, UFC guys who, like, don't box. Like, one of Tyson's big quotes is, everybody's got a plan until I punch him in the face.
Right.
Like, he thinks, oh, yeah, I can take a punch. It's like, you've never been punched by this.
Yeah.
This is going to be like when Superman was fighting Doomsday, and, like, that's the first time Superman's, like, feeling actual pain. Yeah. It's like, holy fuck! I was not prepared for this!
Hey, it's a perfect meme for you to post and everything is Princess Bride's Wesley. Oh, so it'd be torture, huh? I can deal with torture. It's like, oh, it must be to be a punch in the face, huh? I can deal with a punch in the face.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if you, like you were saying, like, Paul's never actually fought a real boxer.
Right.
Or at least not one in their somewhat prime. Tyson's not in his prime, but I mean, the guy's never really slipped. And the fact he's just getting right back into this and everything is like, yep, you know, and he's not, I don't think he's going to be as fast or as powerful as he was in the beginning, but he's going to show that he's not, you know, like, punch fodder for just your average guy on the street. Like, you're gonna have to have some kind of skill if you're gonna go up against him. Some real skill. I mean, and we're not talking like, I've got some skill, like, I can box a little bit. Or like, you know, these guys are like training for like 3 or 4 months before the actual fight. You know?
Yeah. Boxing training is grueling.
So, but, there's that Vice documentary series, Dark Side of the Ring, that's about wrestling. Mm-hmm. And there is the, one episode, and it's the, what was it, like the brawl in the something? I think it took place in Virginia Beach. I'm going to look it up real quick. Because I watched that episode, and it was really interesting. Let's see. But it was, let's see. Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring. There we go. But it was really interesting because it was basically, they were like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have all of these wrestlers get into a boxing match. Brawl for All. So it's season 2, episode 4. And the description just is, known for the worst idea in the history of professional wrestling, the legitimate boxing tournament led to career ending injuries that audiences begging for the final bell. So, yeah, these guys thought that they could really box, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, like, and people, like, trying to box in this, like, in this boxing match, the wrestlers trying to box, got some of them, like, hurt pretty bad.
Well, yeah.
Where they couldn't wrestle anymore. And it was just like, these guys don't know anything about boxing. One guy actually had some boxing training, and, you know, and was able to kind of do a little better than the others, but it just went downhill.
Oh yeah.
So you're taking these UFC guys who are UFC guys.
Yeah.
They can punch, but they're not boxers.
Right.
And then you tell them, you know, oh, by the way, like, your feet need to be stay on the mat
the
whole time, you know?
Yeah,
like, you just took away, like, you know, like, 60% of, like, how I fight.
Right, yeah. It's like, okay, so I can't throw elbows, I can't grapple, I can't kick.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this since you were in high school? Like, of course he's gonna come out on top in that situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because when you default to, like, what you're gonna do, like, oh, shit, I can't do that.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, yeah. So, I know Tyson has said that he wants to beat Jake Paul badly enough that he retires, and I really hope that's true.
I'd actually like for him to beat him so bad that, you know, he won't be able to walk under his own power anymore, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if we're wishing for things, like, I'm just going to be honest here.
Right, right.
Know? I want him to hit Jake so bad, right, that his brother's legs collapse. like it travels back, like the punch travels back in time, like in utero, and then like his brother's like, oh shit, like I felt that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I wouldn't hate it if Tyson just straight up killed him. But
I mean, it might kind of suck for Tyson.
He's killed before.
Has he?
I don't know, probably.
I know a couple of people. What was that guy? That red boxer that killed that guy in the ring. He was just never the same after that.
Bruce Willis.
Well, that wasn't a official boxing match, though. I mean, Bruce Willis was performing with his band, and someone screamed encore, and he's like, "What do you guys want to hear?" And they said Bruno the Kid. He said, "Fuck you." And then, like, next thing you know, like they all, like, someone taking the bar stools, and they put them in four corners and everything, and like, and then that was it. So
I mean, I was just talking about Pulp Fiction, but your story's way better.
This guy will not stop looking at the camera. It's so funny, but it's not really.
He's staring into the camera.
I can't think of the guy's name because it was actually televised, if I remember correctly.
I've heard about it.
There's been a couple of them. I remember I watched that this documentary. God, it's been a couple of years back now, and I can't remember. I can't remember the name of it, but. But basically, the guy, he didn't kill the guy in the ring, but he fucked him up real bad. And it was because they wrapped his hands in plaster.
Oh, shit.
And he was basically just punching this guy with these plaster wrapped hands and just messed him up bad.
That is brutal. I know nowadays they have, like, officials who examine the hand wraps to make sure that shit doesn't happen, but...
Well, like, his guy that was supposed to be wrapped hands, like, they...
Oh, so he was on the take?
Yeah, they...
Fuck that, dude. That is sick. That's some Bugs Bunny shit, like, when he would, like, drop the horseshoe in the boxing glove.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Was it Ray Boom Boom Mancini? Was that the one that killed the guy in the ring?
I've heard of Boom Boom Mancini, but... I don't remember his. I don't remember who killed the dude in the ring.
Like I say, it's happened a couple times, and it's always a horrible thing because, like, you, that's not something that they're trying to do. It's like, that's not my intent, you know. Right. Even though I may talk a lot of shit and say something like that, but that's not my intent. But then when it happens, like, you know, shit, like it wasn't supposed to go down like this.
Well, you know, I mean, Tyson will get over it. I believe in him. I think he's made of strong enough stuff that if he does so happen to kill Paul, people will understand. You can just say buckle the fuck up, kiddies, and just send him to the forest.
Yeah,
know?
Afterwards you'd be like, buckle the fuck up, kiddies. Okay, so Kim Duk Koo. Born 1955, died 1982.
Oh, yeah, that's that dictator with all the nukes.
Different guy.
Oh.
I mean, reading this article, it would have been cool if it was him, but no. He was a South Korean boxer who died after fighting in a world championship boxing match against Ray Mancini. His death sparked reforms aimed at better protecting the health of boxers, including reducing the number of rounds in a championship bout from 15 to 12. Kim was lightly regarded by the U.S. boxing establishment, but not by Ray Mancini, who believed the fight would be a war. Kim struggled to lose weight in the days prior to the bout so that he could weigh in under the lightweight 135-pound limit. Before the fight, Kim was quoted saying, "Either he dies or I die." He wrote the message, "Live or die," on his Las Vegas hotel lampshade only days before the bout. a mistaken translation led to kill or be killed being reported in the media. First off, you know, that's prophetic. Second, dude, that's not your fucking lampshade, man. I mean, like, damn. Like, so Mancini and Kim met in the arena outside Caesar's Palace on November 13th, 1982. The night after Aaron Pryor defeated Alexis Arguello. Sorry, I'm not good with like Spanish or Portuguese or names. I'm not sure which one he is. Anyway, they went toe to toe for a good portion of the bout, to the point that Mancini briefly considered quitting. Kim tore open Mancini's left ear and puffed up his left eye, and Mancini's left hand swelled to twice its normal size. After the fight, Mancini's left eye would be completely closed. However, by the later rounds, Mancini began to dominate, landing many more punches than Kim. In the 11th, he buckled Kim's knees. In the beginning of the 13th round, Mancini charged Kim with a flurry of 39 punches, but had little effect. Let's see. Sugar Ray Leonard, who was one of the commentators, said Kim came right back very strong. Leonard later declared the round to be closely contested. When the fighters came out for the 14th round, damn, that's 14 rounds, holy shit. Mancini, yeah. What is it? It's like 5 minutes a round, isn't it?
It's three or five.
Yeah, okay, I think it's three, yeah. That's a long ass time to be fighting somebody.
When you're fighting, 3 minutes feels like an eternity, I would imagine.
I mean, damn, dude. So, when the fighters came out for the 14th round, Mancini charged forward and hit Kim with a right, Kim reeled back. Mancini missed with a left, and then Mancini hit Kim with another hard right hand. Kim went flying into the ropes his head hitting the canvas. Kim managed to rise unsteadily to his feet, but referee Richard Green stopped the fight, and Mancini was declared the winner by TKO 19 seconds into the 14th round. Says here, Ralph Wiley of Sports Illustrated covered the fight. We later recall Kim pulling himself up the ropes as he was dying as one of the greatest physical feats I'd ever witnessed. Wow. Minutes into the after the fight was over, Kim collapsed into a coma and was removed from Caesar's Palace Arena on a stretcher and taken to the hospital. At the hospital, he was found to have a subdural hematoma consisting of 100 cubic centimeters, 100 milliliters of blood in his skull. And they did brain surgery, but he died 5 days after the bout.
Damn. Yeah, I'd never heard the details on it. That's rough.
Says Mancini went through a period of reflection as he blamed himself for Kim's death after friends helped him by telling him it was just an accident. He went on with his career, though still haunted by Kim's death.
Yeah, I don't guess, you know, when that's not your intention, I don't guess you could ever really, like, fight the same.
Yeah.
Because it's like, he gave it his all, and the guy died, so would he ever be able to, like, fight for all he's worth ever again?
Wow. Kim's mother flew from South Korea to Las Vegas to be with her son before the life support equipment was turned off. 3 months later, she committed suicide by drinking a bottle of pesticide.
Shit.
Now, this is on Wikipedia, but I mean, this is such an old thing from 1982 that I'm sure the citations are proper.
Yeah, yeah.
The bout's referee, Richard Green, committed suicide via self-inflicted gunshot wound on July 1st, 1983, so like a year later.
Damn.
Just shit.
Yeah. Oof, yeah, that's rough.
But you know, kind of think about this right here, and you're mentioning like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting in Pulp Fiction. They, you know, when Butch finds out that that the guy's dead, she's like, you know, you killed the other man. He's like, he's dead, and she's like, the radio said he was dead, and he's like, you know, sorry about that, Floyd. But then later on, when he's talking to his bookie, and he's like, if he'd been a better boxer, he'd still be alive. He's like, he never laced up his gloves to begin with, you know, he'd still be alive. Because let's stop talking about the poor and fortunate Mr. Floyd, and let's start talking about the rich and prosperous Mr. Butch, right? Like, yeah. Like you can tell, like, you know, that it's fake bravado there, because, right. Like, he's like, it's, like he, there's guilt inside of him, even though they don't really kind of deeply explore that, but there's guilt inside of him because like He was supposed to take a dive. He knew he didn't.
Right.
And yeah. because he owed money, or whatever the reason was, like, Marcellus wanted to take that dive, and he fought harder than he should have.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
killed this guy because of his irresponsibility and whatever it was.
Yeah, you because, know? Because of ego, basically.
And it's like, oh yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, that's all on him, mm-hmm. man. You know, he should have been a better boxer. It's like, you know, yeah, but you also should have taken a dive. You should have, you know, yeah, whatever it was, but you can't kill a guy in the ring and then blame him.
Right,
in Butch's case, and then he's like, you know, and then, you know, he, you know, he tries to play off like, oh, well, it's not my fault. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. That they've all been unfortunate in this movie.
This movie's so low budget.
This is pretty bad, yeah. Pretty bad. So we are 2 hours in.
Are we now?
We are.
And we will call this episode Boxing Child Predators.
I was just going to call it Welcome Back, Turk, but...
yeah, I was singing Welcome Back, Cotter song, but I don't know the words. I know it's like the Welcome Back, the dreams that to something another held you down or, you know. Also, speaking of which, like, I caught like an episode of Welcome Back, Cotter, like, God, maybe a couple weeks back now. And I don't even remember why I saw it. I think I was looking for John Travolta, but it was like a later episode. Cause I think he was only in it for like the first season.
Hmm.
It was one of the later episodes, but then, Horshack was in this one and he had a girlfriend and then they were, and something was going on. He might be moving away and stuff. And then, but I was watching the way they were playing his character with his girlfriend and stuff. And I was like, is Horshack gay? Like, and I was serious. Like, it's the '70s. So like, not every, like, you know, TV show in the '70s was Maude, you know?
Right. Right.
But I was like, are they kind of like, you know, hinting at him being gay with, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I'm just reading more into it because I never really watched the show before.
Right.
But I was like, just, it was something about the way that he and his girlfriend, quote, girlfriend interacted and stuff and all that. I was like, it kind of makes it seem like they're trying to say something about him without really saying it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was like, huh, interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I've never seen any of Welcome Back, Cotter.
That girl looks like she's got ramen noodles for hair.
She does, yeah. She'd get along well with the Generation Z crowd.
I like how this movie is so low budget that even this transfer is straight from a VCR because it still rolls.
I'm sure this was filmed on, like a VHS camcorder. There's no way this was done on film.
Like, look how, like, when she moves, like, the reflection of the light on her bracelet
keeps
leaving after effects.
It's really bad.
And whoever filmed this thing, like, he does not know how to use a close-up, because he, like, there's so many close-up shots in this movie, it's just horrible.
Yeah. This has been bad.
And by the way, we're watching it's supposed to be a comedy too, but you know, it's supposed to be a horror comedy. Cannibal Hookers.
Cannibal Hookers.
It's the from 1982, not the more recent one from 2019. But yeah.
Didn't realize there was a remake.
When I was looking it up to just see how bad this movie was, I saw there was a remake. So, but yeah, we're watching the original one, which it clearly is like a camcorder and, you know, it's really bad. The women with the unfortunate 80s asses and everything else.
Yep. Yep.
But what I did think was interesting though was one of the main characters, like, she's got the big 80s hair and which is, I like that's big 80s hair, but that's more tease than anything else.
Yeah.
And hers just looks unkempt, right?
It does. Yeah.
It looks like she, like, sprayed some Aquanet in her hair and then got outside and get caught in a windstorm. But
it's like dangerously close to just becoming dreadlocks at this point.
Yeah. I mean, she looks like the one girl had ramen noodles for hair. Look, she looks like she has onion straw for hair. This girl right here, like the way her hair is all teased, the brunette there,
mm-hmm.
like she has no peripheral vision. Like the hair just blocks like everything from the side. She's like a horse with blinders on.
Yeah, but she's a cannibal hooker, so she's a predator.
That is true.
She doesn't need the peripheral vision. Her eyes are, like, set right in the front. And she's clearly got a nose for sniffing out her victims.
In the very beginning, there was the guy that was the, I guess, the cannibal or whatever that was eating. And look, he was like chewing, like biting off raw meat to and everything. But you could see when he would go to bite off another piece, like he was letting the other stuff fall out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, you could see it like fall between his fingers.
Yeah, but as he was eating it, like they make this seem like cannibals. They make them seem like they're zombies, right? But they're just cannibals. They're not zombies. But they get so ferocious when they eat, like, oh, I'm like, dude, you can be a cannibal and just be like, oh, I'm just going to take small, sensible bites.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get a tummy ache from eating this.
I remember as a kid having the misconception about cannibals and then, like, seeing a documentary and they were, like, actually cooking and slicing up
yeah.
the people and, like...
Oh, a cannibal, not a savage.
Yeah. Come on. Anyway, yes. So, once again, welcome back, Turk. It's
Thank you.
So good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back. Yeah, I've missed this greatly. Like the desert's missed the rain. I commend you very much so for keeping things going in my... during my time of absence, because dude, if situation were reversed, I don't know that I would have been able to, I mean, like, hey, everybody, we're taking hiatus. Kobe's not here. You know, bye. I don't know. I would have been able to, God, this guy's eyebrows move like the guy from Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
Like, he's like all eyebrows.
Garbage day.
I don't think I would have been able to come up with enough content or anything. I would have done like a bunch of like 15 like minute episodes and just called it a day.
You just need to become an alcoholic like me.
I can't get to my alcohol. Did I tell you that story?
No.
Okay. So with everything that's been going on, right? And you know, I'm not one to retreat to alcohol and stuff like that because
I am.
But I just want to have a nice like nice, actually I might have a glass of wine tonight. I think I've maybe earned it.
I think you have.
So I got some of that, was that, I don't know, what the fuck is with there? She like walks like an Egyptian. What's with that eye makeup, man? Like shit. It's like she put it on with a stencil. It's that, Duplin's, but this, the Scuppernong wine. It's sweet, but it's like the Scuppernong, like grape or whatever. It's tasty. You know? So I had a couple, I had some red, had a red bottle of red wine I'd put in the, I know it's red, you know, shouldn't be put in the fridge, but I put it in the fridge anyway, cause I wanted to.
Sure.
Anyway, so, and I went to, buckwheat tea? But no, it's the cramps. So I went to have a glass. I was like, you know what? I just want to have a glass of wine and then just like, relax and just chill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I recently had to move a bunch of stuff in my house from the storage unit and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I grabbed a bottle of wine and I went into my dining room to, you know, where, you know, I got my liquor cabinet and stuff and my wine. Yep. And that's also where my bottle opener and everything is. And I went in there and with everything packed in there, I couldn't get to the liquor cabinet.
Oh.
So I couldn't get to my wine opener or anything.
Oh, that's
and I'm
a tragedy.
Like, shit, like my salvation is something else. Like the thing that's causing me, like it's causing me so much grief, right? Is like, is standing in the way of the one thing that's going to give me like a little bit of relief. It's like, does your hypocrisy know no bounds?
But yes, yes. I don't know if I could have just, like, rambled for an hour at a time without some scotch in me. So,
I don't know who this chick is, but I think her haircut's cute. I think she's cute.
Yeah. She's got a nice rack.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to. Like, hell, I'm like, damn, dude. Like, oh, my God.
Bam!
Those aren't sweater puppies. Those are, like, fucking sweater, like, dog, like those are, like... sheepdogs and they're those are big, man.
Them sweater ham hocks, yeah. Right there.
Yeah, it's like we've like gone completely outside of that genus and like we're like we're like some sweater elephants, like, and I'll never forget those.
And you know, and I will say, for the benefit of you and for all of our listeners who have listened to the solo episodes, it is anybody's guess just how many times I masturbated on mic.
Wow.
Nobody will ever know.
Oh. I'll be able to tell.
Could be anywhere between zero and more than zero. So, you know.
So you have to listen to them in order. But you can tell, because like on the first couple of the first episode, he's very clear. But as the microphone starts to get caked up, it's harder and harder to hear him. That's when you know. So when you get to like episode 4, he's like, "This is a corny," like, and you're like, oh, "Okay, yeah, I got it." Yeah.
I will drop a hint. It's impossible to masturbate to Liefeld art, so that should narrow it down a little bit for
apparently everybody. You do not masturbate properly. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Liefeld just makes me go soft.
I can masturbate to like a barrel fire, man. Like, some by the way that fire is dancing back and forth, like a woman's hips swaying, like ooh.
Hey man, having masturbated to like MS Paint Pokemon drawings, I can tell you, it takes some pretty bad shit for me to not be able to finish. But Liefeld does it.
Was it Jinx or Lapras?
It was like the Eevee family, bro.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know you like that. You like to lay underneath him and let him, like, piss all over you. That's where you were going, right?
No, man.
You're the one who introduced me to that thing, man. I know. We did a podcast about it. Like, you didn't introduce me to that. You introduced me to the guy.
With yeah, Justin team. RPG. Justin RPG.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Oh, well, I have been a Comey.
And, shit, I had something for this. Damn it, I was going to say my name is Turkway too. I was going to say something else, but now I can't remember what it was. Shit, I had something really good too.
What was it? Was it pirate related?
No, it was something else too. And I had it earlier today. I was like, hey, instead of saying my name is Turkway too, I was going to say my name was this. And then now, as soon as I had the opportunity, just jumps right out of my head.
You blew it!
Did. So, anyway, hey, my name is Turk182. All
right. Hope you guys...
Oh, shit, it is Buckwheat.
Oh, wow. Buckwheat say ote. I love you. I love you. All right.
Damn it, that. Damn them that died. They got bitty, dabby eyes. Oh, Comey, have you seen the video of Buckwheat getting shot?
Well, no, I haven't. Yes.
Mr. Wheat. Now, here's this. Yeah, I think I've been shot. Oh, shit. Oh.
All right. We will catch you guys later.
Zang, yo.
Right there, folks, that was Our Moms Think We're Funny. Let's give them a hand.